The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Well done, guys. This drug ring is closed. Stryker?
Everything's good out here. I'll see you out, Able Team.
Who's doing this to my operations?
I have heard whispers, Colonel. Groups have told of a stony man.
Bring them to me. I want to see them suffer as we have suffered.
A powerful Soviet hardliner has discovered the identities and plans of the Stony Man Force. With this information, he's ready to execute his plan. A plan that will make him the undisputed ruler of the Russian Mafia. And then, Russia itself.
This is the last of the cash. Are we ready to make a deal?
Die, American scum!
Lyons, I heard shooting. What happened?
Schwartz, Blancanales, we were ambushed. Jesus, Poland, they're dead.
Now, Phoenix Force, with the guidance of Katzenellenbogen, must make a decision that could go against everything they stand for in the name of revenge.
As of this moment, Stony Man takes orders from no one. Schwartz and Blancanales will be avenged. No matter the cost.
But Schwartz and Blancanales' apparent deaths are all just part of the plan.
Now, Schwartz, you will tell me the location of Stony Man Farm.
Never.
Oh, I'm quite sure you will.
Stony Man number 39, Breach of Trust. Coming in June 2006. Only from Graphic Audio. The movie in your ears.
Stony Man 39, Breach of Trust, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting June 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advanced copy of Breach of Trust. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Submitted for your consideration, Folcroft Sanitarium, Rye, New York, 6 a.m., the director arrives for another work day.
Good morning, Mrs. Mikulka.
No calls, Dr. Smith.
2 miles away, a crew works on a telephone pole.
Catch anything?
No, Mr. Kogstad. The lines are quiet.
Sever them.
Meanwhile, on nearby Long Island Sound, 3 speedboats bob with the gentle motion of the waves.
Anybody spot our man?
The sun is coming right off the windows. See for yourself.
Screw it. We can't wait all day. The word is go. Repeat, the word is go.
Harold Smith, director of the Folcroft Sanitarium, thought he was arriving for another normal workday. But Harold Smith, also director of the super-secret government agency known as CURE, is about to enter a realm that makes the Twilight Zone look like a quilting bee.
I know. Tell the lobby guard to retreat to a safe place. Folcroft is under attack.
Cease fire! Cease fire! We surrender! Freeze! DEA! IRS! We're the goddamn IRS!
The evil machinations of the capitalistic supercomputer known as Friend have made Harold Smith seem responsible for $12 million worth of drug money, unreported income, or both. Remo Williams and Chun, the master of Chinunju, the other two elements comprising CURE, come to Smith's aid. But Smith's solution to his problems may be more than either man has bargained for.
Smitty, what's the good word? Or in your case, the bad one?
Greetings, Harold the Resolute.
Remo, you have failed CURE and your country. And you, Master Chun, have failed your emperor. You above all know that once CURE is compromised, certain instructions are inviolate.
There is always time to die, Smith. If that is your wish, it will be carried out.
Death and Taxes. Destroyer number 97. Identity Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And now, our feature presentation. Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, and Casey Jones. Deathlands number 12, Latitude Zero. Behind Ryan Carter and his five companions, the apocalyptic pillar of swirling red and orange dust rose thousands of feet into the clear sky. The choking cloud contained the disintegrated ruins of a long hidden redoubt that had honeycombed the mountain, the remains of which still towered above the Friends. The complex had been destroyed by a self-termination device placed there by some long dead hand nearly 100 years ago, before the brief and savage nuclear war that had ravaged the United States of America, turning it into what was now simply called Deathlands. Within the redoubt had been one of the rare Mattrans devices known as gateways, which would have enabled Ryan and the others to make an instantaneous jump from that particular redoubt to another, maybe 1,000 miles away. With its destruction came the bitter awareness that the companions were stranded in that bleak desert land with little food or water, and no sign of any semblance of civilization as far as the eye could see. J.B. Dix, the armorer of the group, was busily checking figures off his microsextant, trying to find out where they were. Ryan wiped grit from his one good eye and looked around, guessing that they could be somewhere in the southwest.
You said it, J.B.
But the new king of the year 2001 had done more than wipe out all the cities and virtually all the people. It had also produced almost indescribable changes in the formation of the country. Half of California had slithered into the Pacific. Mountains had fallen and burst up again 500 miles away. There were monstrous steaming lagoons filled with water so acidic it would separate flesh from bone. There were forests where there had been deserts, and there were deserts that had once been rolling acres of fertile grazing land. JB wiped his wire-rimmed spectacles on his shirt sleeve and looked across at Ryan.
New Mexico, I think. Not all that far from the border with old Texas. Don't know this region all that well. We were here with Trader 10 years or more ago. There's plenty of old hotspots around here.
Right.
Out of habit, J.B. glanced down at the miniature rad counter buttoned to his coat. It was showing a pale yellow light that barely shaded above the green of safety. It showed there was some kind of radiation within 20 miles or so, or a milder area a little nearer. The rad counters weren't all that accurate or reliable. Mildred Wyeth had been sitting on the ground, resting her head on her hand.
Sure is warm after that dank, cold dungeon. I haven't been so cold since they froze me.
The black woman had been in her mid-30s when minor abdominal surgery had led to complications. She'd been one of the leading experts in the United States on the relatively new science of cryogenics and cryosurgery, and had been one of a number of people whose bodies had been frozen in the hope of reviving and curing them at some unspecified future date. Mildred had been thought out by Ryan and the others when they'd found the cryo center in what had once been called Minnesota. Apart from the column of dust slowly drifting away, the sky was clear of any threatening chem clouds. Ryan glanced once at the battered comm dish, covered in stones and boulders, that had saved their lives when the self-destruct blew out the redoubt. The area for several hundred yards around was scattered with similar rocks, most no bigger than a baseball, a few of them the size of a house.